Go to Genesis 3.
Genesis 3:20.
What is it? In
that
verse?
No, that's right about in there where they screw up.
The first part of Genesis 3 is the fall of Adam, but it's also your fall. This is where this happened to you. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now comes the curse. Now remember, we've talked about let me just review a minute. In verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, hear this. Hear this once and for all time through the strings of eternity. Any time that you think that you or someone else should be different than you are, this instant, question is, who told you you were naked? Because you desire to be clothed on with something else. Do all of you understand that clearly? Who told you were naked? Now, the answer is the serpent, the evil one, told me I was naked. I mean, if that's, once you start, I mean, that once you leave that place of knowing that you're naked but unashamed, that you commend yourself fully, openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God, once you leave it for an instant and take a stand and say, I shouldn't be this way, or I should be that way, or you shouldn't be this way, or you should be that way, you are listening to the voice of the evil one, and he's told you you were naked and you needed something else in order to be fulfilled. Now, the manifestation of it for most people in that arena is, I am a victim. I am a victim. Somebody is doing something to me. The victim position is the most evil of all positions, because it causes you to seem most righteous. I am a victim. Well, let me tell you, my friends, your righteousness is as a menstrual rag. The moment you think you should be different than you are eating a menstrual rag. Who told you were different? Who told you were naked? Who caused you to make this judgment? The evil one. The Spirit of God within you and the seed of Christ within you is in a situation, no matter what the case, of joy, fellowship, wonderment. But you don't understand. You don't know why I go through. You don't know this. I know. And it's all a lie, and it's all bullshit, because it's based on your righteousness. How can you possibly feel righteous by being a victim? Well, I promise you, that's the reason you feel like a victim. So that you as a hunk of protoplasm can have righteousness. Internal righteousness, internal righteousness, internal righteousness. That's all the human race is searching for. You understand that?
Yes.
All of you understand it? Now, let's go to 3:14. 3:13 says, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent did it. Man said the woman caused it. The woman said the serpent did it.
Serpent did it. I get the universal
sign of no guile, but don't have any lips.
Because of that attitude, because of the attitude of knowing that you're naked, the curse came upon them and upon you. Okay? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And the seed, her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that's the meaning of Christ. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Well, you're under a curse. Do you trust that? The only way that that curse can be paid off is paid off universally by the death and resurrection of Christ. But it can't be paid off in you until you apprehend that. Now, in order for you to apprehend it, it can't just go along saying, okay, Christ, praise God, Christ paid the curse for me, praise God. And now I can come up with some religion that says that I don't need a cross anymore. I don't need blood anymore. You can come up with a philosophy and a way of thinking that, which all of you do, that defines your own success in terms of your own terms. Well, that's a religion without a cross. All philosophy is just another form of religion, and it's a religion without the cross. It's a bloodless religion. But in fact, this group of people here, we're really stupid. Go to Deuteronomy 18. What? Verse 9. Verse 9. Now everything that we believe, everything that is about us, the purpose of everything we do, is the certainty that the seed of Christ has resurrected itself and manifested itself in you as a living vessel. Understand that? That's a given in everything we talk about. In other words, you yourself are the promised land. Okay? Watch. And when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou art come into the land when you know that Jesus Christ has resurrected himself and his seed is within you, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations, of those people. Think of yourself and all of the ways of survival that you've thought of and all the ways of survival that you've manifested. Where did they come from? There was not one thing, there is not one thing about you that isn't learned. You are a product of generations of thought systems, so that your present state of mind is a molding that goes all the way back 100 generations. There is not one thing that you are or one idea that you have that is yours. Do you understand that, really? Do all of you agree with that? Lee?
it was.
Well, I know it is because I directly stole them, the good ones I came across, so.
Just think about it. Well, you know, if that's the case, then what am I? I'm a product of a thousand generations of people who have molded me and molded my thought patterns and caused me to think in the way that somebody else defined. In other words, you have been manipulated into the present state you are. Manipulated. You have been deceived, manipulated, you have been lied to, because every one of you have been taught that the way that you learned through this circuitous path is the right way. If you didn't believe it was the right way, you could not possibly have an opinion about yourself or other people. But you have been taught that this mismatch or mismatch of thought processes and stimulus that you call your brain is your own, and you've done it.
You agree? Yeah.
There is not one feeling that you have, there is not one thought that you have that is your own. That's mind-blowing. It's not mind-blowing unless you think about it. But if you don't dwell on it, if you don't think about it, then you will never see the implications. Then you will take lightly the things of God.
I don't understand that last thing. Taking lightly the things of God.
You will take it for granted. And then for the next time something comes your way, you will be equally bummed out as you were the last time. That means that you haven't eaten the good word. You've only looked at it. Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Every time one of those is appeased, you're still under that impression of something that, like, maybe your great-great-great-great-grandfather thought up from some book he read. And
probably got wrong anyway.
Okay, now the point of it is, thou shalt not learn to do after these nations with regard to their abominations. Okay. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now I won't go through it tonight, but we've learned that you're guilty of all those. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath suffered thee so, not hath not suffered thee so to do. Okay. What the hell does all that mean? How many of you remember when we studied, or how many of you know when I say, what's a pineal body? Do you remember? I can't remember the last time I talked about it.
Probably a year ago.
Okay.
There's two bomb in here. They got no use for
it.
Okay. You have a mind with billions and billions and billions of neurons, and they act in a particular way and in paths, electrical conduits of circuitry and chemical, electrochemical conduits that have as their basis a pathway that you have defined by the lies that you have accepted. You understand that? You have accepted a certain view of facts or certain view of things as fact. Therefore, that acceptance of that view causes the electromechanical, chemical path of the brain cells to move in this predefined direction. You understand? Mm-hmm. You have a programmed response for every possible stimulus that could affect you, except one.
Okay.
the cross. You have a programmed response that someone has, it's just as if you were a computer, somebody has typed in this program, not you, and you've typed in this little program and it says, this is how I respond to that stimulus and I'll do it that way every time. And it's because of the pathway of these neurons that have been, it's just like your grooves in a mountain or the valleys through a mountain that have been made by water. Well, that's exactly the same thing that's in your brain. You've got images carved into the walls of your brain. God comes along and says, every one of those images will only lead you to go straight to hell. In fact, if you have gotten rid of all of them except one, you're still going to hell. And you will have no part of life. You will, your life and your meaning of life will be totally worthless. You'll live for a period of time. You will get old and you will die, period. If you accept as fact any single one of those previous ways of thinking, that's pretty heavy. God says that every one of those previous ways of thinking has to be crucified. It cannot be crucified until you see that it's false. My only job in life is to cause you to know that every pathway that you have for your brain is false. If I cannot do that, then I cannot be a rabbi. If there is one area left, one single way of thinking left, that you still think is right, then I've failed, and I will suffer for it. Because I haven't done the watchman's duty. Big time stuff. Big, big, big time. Now, what in God's name can be the way we think then? Because this covers your quiet little times. It covers all of the times when you decide, and it's your best interest not to speak, because if you speak, something bad will happen. It covers all of the times that you spend in your aloneness, when you conceive of different imagery. It's all of your sexual fantasies. It's all of your manifestation of non-sexual fantasies. It's every projection that you have in your mind that will be made with regard to how tomorrow should be. Every one of those paths is a wrong path that leads straight to the east gate of the New Jerusalem. The east gate of the New Jerusalem is the dump. What's the alternative? How can this possibly be true? I'm going to go be a Baptist. Because if I'm a Baptist, then I can say, once saved, always saved. And I can retain all of my thought processes and put God's name on them. Or I can be a Methodist, or I can go to a charismatic place, or I can do anything that causes me to live within an arena that has very narrow things that I can do. If I know that if I go to most of the churches, that I can get by, I can do that. Only thing, you know, I have to quit smoking, but that's no big deal. I know scripture very well. I know the game very well. As long as I played the game right, then I could be successful in that church environment. Now, believe it or not, that's what all of you want. You want to have the rules and the situation and the pegs of your tent only to such an environment that you can control it. Here, the constant exhortation is to enlarge your tent. If there is ever a place that you feel comfortable at, the job here is to kick the pegs out from under the tent. so that you're always on a journey. You never, ever settle down. So that you always have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ never, ever, 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 ever once tries to gain anything for itself. When every other one of those paths have as their root cause gaining something for myself. And the only way to go from that mind of the Gentile to the mind of Christ is the cross. And the cross says, I am dead. And the cross then, by a small body of people where everybody knows you intimately, you lay down your life one for another. You cannot act. No. That's, believe it or not, that's the biggest freedom that you will ever know in your life. And I thought we were going to do it tonight. We're not going to have time. But what I want to do is to show you how every ambition that man has and how every little mental trick that he'd like to learn all originated and were all in the Garden of Eden and were all cursed. So we'll talk about that Tuesday. I don't feel like talking anymore.
The computer analogy, the idea of being like a computer. With a base, I guess they're operating programs or something that says number one, survive.
Yeah.
But a worm gets thrown into that because you hear and start to say it may be true that if you seek to gain your life, you lose it. The only way is to lay down your life. Blows that program away. And the other one is always to gather, to seek to self. And you hear something like seeking first the kingdom of God. It's like putting worms into a computer.
Yeah.
It causes mass.
And it has to be done from every possible angle. I mean, there's a million different paths to come to that same point.
Yeah, because it'll find a path to get there. Somehow it'll find a path.
But it's important that you know this. It's important, otherwise you will lean on your own arm of understanding. You will define your own environment. Is that cake you can't use it until it thaws?
We can try to cut it. It'll just be difficult. You can cut it.
Okay, let's do that.
Put it in the microwave.
Does everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday we'll get to...
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's plan it.
If Lord willing, if we go.
And the rabbi don't take no more pills.
I mean, that's just, that. I knew it. I knew it. I knew that.
What did he do?
He doesn't take any.
No, I screwed up earlier and took. That's why I was so blasted. I took the pills that I was supposed to take at night in the daytime.
Barbara, and, I need like a pill bearer.
But you have to do
I told her she was going to do this.
We need a pill.
She did. She can't
be trusted.
I didn't think about it.
Say take a big guy.
Take a big guy.